and welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
I am the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 42. We've been away for a week or two. Life caught up with us.
Yeah, not just Sean, me too. We just both did not have the time to do anything. We apologize. We should have even at least got on social media and told you guys what was up, but we were just crazy busy, so we apologize for that. We normally are really good about putting an episode out every week or giving you guys a heads up if we're going to be gone. So, yeah. So, Sean, what's been going on? What kept us so freaking busy? Because I was getting a lot of messages about where we were.
Sure. Like, the distance only makes the heart grow fonder is my belief in life. So.
There you go.
No, I actually, as I had mentioned before, our little hiatus, I bought a house, or me and my wife did, we moved, and moving sucks, and it takes a lot of time, and there's always that lap where you don't have internet, and all your podcasting stuff is in boxes, so, yeah, man, that was kind of my hang up. I was, just to have my stuff, but it's getting set up in my new house right now. Got some super fast internet going on, so... Things are going good, man. How about you?
Yeah. Moving's the worst. It's just the worst thing ever. So I'm glad you don't have to do that for a while. But yeah, I got a new job, left that job, going to another job now. So I've just been, my schedule's been off the charts crazy, just going in a different career path. So other than that, just been busy trying to play video games with Clarence as much as I can, but life is starting to mellow out and get normal again for both of us, which is the good news about all of it. But me and Sean really both missed podcasting. We missed doing this, so sorry again to our loyal fans that listen every week. We appreciate your patronage, and we're back. We're here to stay. So
we are here to stay. Have no fear. We did miss you. We truly did. We really both enjoy doing this a lot, and especially makes it way better knowing that there are some loyal fans out there who listen. We plan on keeping on doing this, and hopefully won't miss any days, but, you know, life catches you sometimes. Just kind of got to roll with it. Things are good. Let's get back into our show. So we have our 2 cents section, and we were going to talk about Battleborn.
Yeah.
Had a few weeks with it now. And
absolutely, yeah. So Battleborn is something we're going to review right now. Let me pull up my notes. So yeah, Sean, I've beaten the game on campaign story mode. I have played 30 hours of PvP. I've unlocked all the characters but three. I've got a real good grasp of this game. I know you do as well. Clarence has a good grasp of this game. It's fair to give it a verdict now. So overall, the gameplay I found to be satisfying for something that's like a MOBA, first person MOBA. I feel like it was balanced very well. A lot of people were complaining, Sean, about melee characters in the game, that it was just too chaotic and it wasn't really something that was appealing to be a melee player. Everyone's just a ranged character. And I disagree with that. I feel like the melee mechanics of the game were solid, and I feel like they're balanced and they look fine and they don't confuse me. But I know Game Informer, Polygon, and a bunch of even IGN really wasn't too crazy about the game. Which was a little disappointing, because I just found the whole game to be very charming, very immersive. As far as, I mean, the game obviously shines, Sean, I know you'd agree with me, in the player versus player mode. I mean, once you beat the campaign story, you're not gonna, I mean, I didn't go through it again. I was over it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I totally agree, man. I think, the story mode was fun. I thought I appreciated kind of the cartooniness of it. I don't know. It was just a different animated style than I've been used to, and like uber realistic war games or whatever, if you want to look at like Call of Duty or any of those kind of games. So I think I really appreciated just kind of the levity and the funness of it. I thought the story mode was actually really good. It was really well written. You could definitely tell somebody put a lot of time into developing characters. I definitely would say one of their biggest pros was their big cast of playable characters. You know, something that keeps me excited about a game is like unlocking everything for a certain character and then picking a different character and doing the same thing. And there's a huge amount of that you're able to do with this game. There's tons of customizable stuff. There's, you know, ranks and tags and titles, and special abilities and weapons and packages and all this stuff. So there's like an infinite amount of customability that just allows the game to have a lot of playability, really. I thought there was a pretty good mix, I felt. I know that they said that the melee thing was kind of an issue, but I felt like there was a pretty good mix of genres as far as like, if you were a tank, or you could be a healer, or you can be a melee character. I just felt like there was a good mix of that. I felt like there were good representations for all of those things that are traditional MOBAs. Yeah, man. I just thought it was a good game. I didn't really... I know a lot of people said they felt like the multiplayer matches kind of were messy, but that's kind of... I just felt like that's a MOBA. That's just a trademark of MOBAs. It's kind of like an all-out battle. So... I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was a good game. I'm still enjoying it, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I disagree with a lot of people that... I mean, some websites, gaming websites, gave it great reviews. I think Game Informer is still rating it right now, but I listened to their podcast, and they were ragging on it hardcore, but IGN gave it like a 7.5. Not a super strong rating. And there are problems with the game. It's not flawless. Story mode, as far as the story mode goes, I mean, the story missions I think are fun to play, but I think the story itself of Battleborn is not that great. It's not very told clearly. I think they start you off and it just starts off on the wrong foot, Sean. I feel like the whole Last Star thing, and there was this evil force, blah, 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 and they were trying to be funny about it, and it just didn't really land for me. That's the only thing that I think was probably the biggest problem for me, because you can play a game that has shitty gameplay, but if you're in love with the story, it makes the game great. And it kind of goes vice versa. If you have great gameplay, but the story's kind of shitty, that kind of also takes away from the game. So... it definitely affects... you can't just make a game. It's like, oh, the gameplay's great, it doesn't matter. It does matter. That's what creates, you know, this loyal fan base, is somebody who loves a story. Look at Gears of War, look at Halo, look at franchised games that are solid. I mean, even on PlayStation platforms, like Drake's Uncharted, that new game just came out. You know, there's a story there that fans love. There's characters that people are invested in. That's what makes them coming back for Battleborn 2, Battleborn 3. And the story's just not there. So that's a huge problem with the game. But yeah, another thing that I didn't like is when you're playing the story mode, you can't, if you're going to play with people online, you can't pick which story mission you want to do online. It just randomly generates three missions that the whole lobby can vote on that they want to play as a preference. I think that's really stupid. You should be able to pick whatever game. Like, just there's some, like, there are glaring things that Gearbox did wrong as far as how the game functions at menus, I think. It was just done very poorly. Granted, this is their first game in a franchise that doesn't really exist on consoles, so... there's going to be mistakes, and that's okay. I'm just saying that that is a problem. If you wanted to play one mission that you haven't played, you could go into the lobby 7 or 8 times and have to quit until somebody all agrees on what mission you want to play. That's just not a good way for a game to function. That's not easy on the player itself. It makes it hard to complete already impossible objectives. So that was another big problem of the game. But obviously, like we've said before, where it shines is play, you know, PvP. It's very challenging. There's tons of things you can customize, and there's a sense of, you get a really gratifying feeling, Sean, when you master a character. Like, you play a lot with Wraith. I play a lot with Caldarius. I play a lot with Montana as well. I mean, these are all, there's so many great characters that once you're like, okay, I'm kind of sick of playing them, you kind of get stuck on another great character and try to master them. That's the lore of the game for me. That's what's fun about the game for me. I know Clarence really agrees with me there. Finding the player that you like and just mastering them, getting gear for them, everything, unlocking all the lore for them and the skins and the emotes, all that is just a blast. So that's where it really shines for me.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I feel like, I would say that in a synopsis, a roundup of it, I think exciting leveling, I would say the story mode is definitely a little repetitive. There are a few rough edges as they kind of iron out this new genre in a console system. But overall, what would you say? What's your review? You know, you're out of 10.
My final verdict is going to be an 8 out of 10. The game does have glaring problems with it. I would say also the servers aren't 100% great. I have had a bunch of server problems. If somebody leaves a match, they don't automatically regenerate, Sean, somebody in the game. That's just, I mean, every game does that. That's a huge misstep in Battleborn. Because if somebody quits on your team, that there's no one going to be regenerated in your team. You're just down a man the whole match. Call of Duty is not like that. Battlefield is not like that. Every major shooter that I can think of, Halo is not like that. Gears of War is not like that. Every single game I can think of, it's just common sense. If somebody gets booted from the game, it's regenerated and replaced with another player. Because people leave games all the time. So that's another huge problem with the game. I think 8 out of 10 is a generous score. I think IGN was pretty fair with the 7.5. It's pretty close around there. But what's your final verdict?
No, I was actually thinking exactly that, 8 out of 10. There's definitely room for improvement. But overall, I enjoyed the game. Still enjoy the game. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you 100%. I think that's a pretty fair. I would definitely recommend it for somebody to buy if they have any interest in MOBAs at all and they are looking for something in that genre on a console. My experience has been with Xbox One, so I would definitely recommend it on that platform. I think it's a fun game and it'll keep your attention for a while. So.
Good stuff. I'm glad that we agree because it seems that's a fair score and I think it's a great game. I think the replayability of it is high. It's a very hard leveling up system. I mean, I've put a bunch of hours into it and I just broke 31. So they had a double XP weekend this weekend and I didn't get to play a bunch this weekend. But it's not easy to level up. And they're announcing the new character coming out, I believe, in June. I'm forgetting her name. I don't have all that information. We don't need to go into that. But they are releasing 5 new characters in a span of a season pass that they have. So if you are interested in the game, there's great new content coming out for it as well. So that's another plus about the game. But it's still solid. I really recommend you get it. I know Sean recommends that you get it. It's a pretty good game. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you actually have a little bit more stuff to review. You actually went and saw a movie. And,
yeah. I saw Civil War. Captain America's Civil War from Marvel.
Kind of your spoiler-free review?
There's nothing really to spoil. I mean, I won't give anything away. I mean, what you see in the previews, you know, it's something happens to where, you know, Captain America and Iron Man have there's a fork in the road and one goes one way and one goes the other. You can tell that from the trailer, right? Yeah,
for sure.
So, I mean, I find it to be cliche. I find it to be corny. I find it to be cheesy. I read Civil War, the comic book, when it came out originally. It's an old comic book story. Basically, the plot of the story is S.H.I.E.L.D. wants some sort of regulating with superheroes in the United States. Iron Man, Tony Stark, agrees with the government and says we should regulate ourselves, blah, blah, blah. Captain America says, no, that's a bunch of BS. We should not regulate superheroes. We're making the world a better place. We don't have to answer to anybody, blah, blah, blah. And they fight about it. And that's the movie. So, I mean, there's obviously some other things I won't, talk about, the main thing that they reveal at the end. But ultimately, I just am, Sean, even my fiance Vivi, I mean, it's just, all it is action. There's no depth to it at all. There's no, it's just the same Captain America. It's just the same fight scenes. It's just all the same, only they added a couple new heroes, like Ant-Man's in it. And Spider-Man's in it with the new Peter Parker, which I did like, by the way. It's just the same Avengers movie you've seen 10 times. And I don't understand why it's raved as the best superhero movie of all time. And Batman vs. Superman was just shit on like crazy. It just blows my mind. I don't understand. I'm not saying I hated the movie. I thought Civil War was it. They do a good job. I love Robert Downey Jr. He is made to be Iron Man. He's made to be Tony Stark. I know Sean agrees with me on that. I just feel like I've seen this movie 3 times already before. And ultimately, without giving any spoiler reviews, I give this a 7 out of 10. This is very average from the Marvel studio. I expect more out of them. I expect more change and more lore, Easter eggs in a comic book movie. Do you know what I mean, Sean? I expect to find things. If I'm a diehard Marvel fan, I want to find things in the movie that only a comic book person would know. That's what Batman vs. Superman was for sure. I don't know. If I'm a Marvel fanboy, I'd be a little disappointed with it. I'd say it lacks the content that it needs. It's just action the whole time. So, yeah, that's pretty much my review. Very average movie. I don't want to ruin it or spoil it for anybody. I'm sorry if you disagree with me and you saw it. I'm sure you did. It broke all sorts of records, made a boatload of money. Obviously crushed Batman vs. Superman in the theaters 3 or 4 times over, but very average. It's a fun movie. I'd still recommend you go see it. I mean, it's okay, but I mean, I wouldn't see it at theaters. I would just wait for it to come out on DVD. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's not a movie I actually haven't seen yet. I don't plan on rushing out to see it. I felt the same way about the past Marvel movies that have come out. I feel like they all are all the same movie. Like, I feel like they just, like, find a way to fight each other, basically, or fight themselves. It's like their biggest villain is always themselves. Like, it's always like they're fighting some issue that they're dealing internally with. And I feel like it, from everything I've seen in the previews, it just seemed like another rendition of that. And yeah, it's super frustrating for me because I do like DC so much. And I feel like they tried something different and got slammed, and then these people just puked out another movie of the same thing. And it was like praised and loved.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if it's because Disney owns them and they own everything in the world right now. So if they're just like, you know, getting great reviews because they own everything that reviews everything. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it, man. I think that they did find a formula that works well, but if you keep producing the same thing, like, how is that entertaining?
Yeah.
It's just the same thing over and over.
I'd be curious if any of our listeners aren't grossly offended by what I just said about Civil War, if they're still listening. If they would tweet at the show, like, I'm curious what, like, a diehard Marvel fan thinks about it, because I've had some friends that have saw it, and they thought, yeah, it was all right, it was good, it was fun, oh, it was a great movie, but I want to know what, like, a diehard Marvel fan thought of it. I mean, in my mind, they would be a little bit disappointed. Like I said, there's just no content. It's just all the same. So I'd be curious. If you are a Marvel fan and you saw the movie, tweet at me what you thought of it. I'd be really curious to know. So No more reviews for the week.
Yeah, that's it. We just shit on the biggest movie out, and then we move right along.
Yep.
So Nintendo 2DS gets another price cut. So Nintendo's been in and out of the news. They're working on this new console that everybody keeps talking about. It's going to like revolutionize gaming, and it has like a TV remote control thing. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but it sounds like they're also trying to liquidate old holdings, old things that they've had in their past. So they had a price cut on their 2DSs. Looks like they are down to $79.99 beginning in May 20th, which is crazy. It's super cheap. What a great way to get involved in that. Nintendo definitely has some properties that I've grown up loving. I have a 3DS, the new 3DS. And I play like Super Mario Brothers on it and all that stuff and Mario Kart. So I definitely like it. I think it's fun, and at $80 you can't go wrong. That's like yeah.
Yeah, I actually was considering buying a 2DS once I get a little bit more money. I mean, that seems like a pretty fair deal for I had had an original DS when they came out. I loved it. I think they make great handhelds. I think they make the best handheld. But yeah, I mean, $80 ain't that bad. I mean, you play Mario Kart and all those great games and Zelda on it. So definitely wanted to bring that up to any of our listeners who are like me and don't want to drop over $100 on a little handheld. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think too, like they realize kind of handheld gaming's gone mobile. I mean, like mobile games. I feel like your phone is the new mobile device, like gaming device.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I mean, I have an iPhone 6S, and I play like some games on it, but I still prefer like Mario over that if I'm gonna sit and like just relax and play some games. Or for traveling, they're phenomenal for traveling. So yeah, they're fun. Definitely check it out if you're looking to drop, you know, $80 on something. Just fun to have, and it's definitely a good buy for sure.
Yeah, it originally came out October 2013 for $130. So, I mean, $80 now, that's a pretty big price cut from when it came out. So, right on, right on. All right, well, moving right along, Sean. Titanfall 2 is going to drop this fall. I remember when we got our consoles, we played Xbox One. I mean, that's all we played pretty much when we first got our Xbox Ones was Titanfall. It's a fun game. There was a lot of problems with it as far as no campaign mode. It was the first next generation game, I think, that didn't have a campaign mode. And everyone freaked out about that, rightfully so. But I think Xbox needed a launch title game and they needed it now. So they just made a multiplayer game called Titanfall. So it's a fun game. I love Titanfall, but it kind of came and went. And I think now that they're hopefully they're going to have a story mode for it. And what do you think about this?
You know, when it first came out, because it came out pretty much was like the first big game of a new console series, it really was fun. The graphics were phenomenal. It was like the first time we really got to see the Xbox One push its limits as far as like what it could show graphically. Huge maps, a lot of characters playing. I thought it was really fun. I've always really been into the mech thing, so I really appreciated that. I feel like the concept was super strong with it all. And I think that they just missed a few hit points that I think it probably had a lot to do with them trying to rush to get it to market when they needed to. So I'm hoping that this is going to kind of correct all the little flubs that they had with the original and get a solid story in there. But yeah, I thought that overall the game was okay. Like, I thought it definitely has a lot of potential, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I think there's a lot of potential there. But as far as a verdict of something that, I'm looking forward to Titanfall 2 is the biggest game of the year. Like, no one's going to say that. But yeah, there's a lot of potential there. I mean, I buy everything when it comes to video games, pretty much. I mean, any big titles. We're recording on a Monday night on the 23rd. I'm going to get Overwatch as soon as I can. I'll probably pick up Titanfall 2. I thought it was a fun game. It was the best mech multiplayer game I had ever played. I can definitely say that about it. So that's an encouraging thing. They got that down. I don't think anybody's replicated that. Not even Halo 5, because in Halo 5 you have mechs that you get in. And Sean, it still isn't replicated as well as Titanfall did. I mean, when you eject in Titanfall, the original, you go all up in the sky, and it was just very smooth transitioning. The shooter specs of just how it felt were just really on point. So that's something that's probably the only thing it's got going for it. Before we move on, we talked about in our last episode about Battlefield 1 and how awesome that is. You know, EA is huge. They just keep putting out better and bigger titles that are kind of, they're trying to franchise and make these giants out of. They're trying to be Blizzard, essentially. But Battlefield 1 is coming out around the same time in fall. So there's this discussion going on that it's kind of devouring itself with two big titles. You know, Battlefield is kind of the flagship for EA, in my opinion. That, or, you know, Star Wars Battlefront now is a big flagship for it. But what do you think about, do you think it's going to conflict with, like, them making a lot less money between people choosing between getting Titanfall 2 or Battlefield 1? Or do you think it's just not an issue?
I don't see, like, Battlefield 1 right now, and everything that I've read, and in my personal opinion, is like the game I'm looking forward to the most. And so I think it'll definitely hurt its sales, for sure. But I get it. I get, like, using it as, like, you kind of had a swing and a miss at the first one. I don't think they want to put all their eggs in one basket again. And so to release it with another huge title, it kind of gives people the opportunity to, to maybe if they're not into Battlefield or whatever, like, they still want that future thing. I think that's providing a title when Battlefield's kind of rebooting itself and going back to World War One. I think it's kind of smart to have both sides covered. So you kind of get, like, the best of both worlds as far as, like, hey, if you're, like, maybe you're not into World War II or One or whatever, like, you want to play, like, futuristic games, you're really into mechs and sci-fi and stuff, like, here's this game for you. So I think it's smart on that side. And then if you don't have a lot invested in Titanfall 2, as far as, like, I'm sure they do. I mean, I'm sure the creators of Titanfall are really wanting to succeed. But I think it's smart to hedge your bets that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like I said, the great point you made is they're appealing to a broader audience, but I feel like these are two big titles for EA. So it will kind of devour itself in some kind of financial way, one or another. I don't think it's smart launching Titanfall 2. Maybe, beginning of 2017, maybe, because that's pretty close still to Battlefield. Because Battlefield 1 comes out, I think, October 21st was the release date. So if you released it in January, it's not that you still have a buffer zone, and it's after Christmas and people might be wanting a new game. But yeah, I think it's kind of a misstep. I just don't understand what they were thinking with those release dates, but I'm not a CEO, so.
From what I've heard from reading all this stuff or doing this for a while, you know, like, obviously Christmas time is the cash grab. So I think you always want to put as much as you can out there, because from what I've read and heard, it's like, I don't know, like 75% of gaming sales are done over, like, the holiday season. So it makes sense in that aspect, though. I mean, if you're trying to put as much out there as you can, because you got to think, too, that there's going to be a lot of other competition from other game developers around the holidays. So the more titles that you have out, the more chances at least one of your games gets bought by the masses. So
it's a good point.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good game. You know, I'm definitely willing to give it another shot. I think from what I've heard and read so far, it looks like that they've taken a lot of cues from people who played the first one and didn't like it, so it sounds like they've corrected a lot of their errors. So yeah, I think it could be a really good game. I'm really interested to see what happens with that. So Ubisoft's CEO Ubisoft, huge game developer. He said in a quarterly earnings meeting, which is like every quarter, if you guys don't know, huge companies have to give a recount of what their the direction of their company to their shareholders, so people who invest in their company. And so the CEO, God, I don't even know how to say his name, Ives Guillemot, I don't know, some crazy
shit.
So CEO of Ubisoft, just know that. He said in a recent meeting that he thinks streaming could eventually replace consoles. This is a topic we've talked about many times on this show, and we've gotten into heated debates over it. But yeah, man, it just seems like every week, every month, there's just more and more people in the industry that are kind of pointing like, yeah, this is happening, this is the direction we're going. He said according to Gilma or whatever, now on the console side, we expect there will be new consoles that are going to make this market continue to grow, and we feel it's we'll still have another generation of consoles. So he still believes that there's going to be another generation of consoles, which we both agree on. We think it's not immediate. We think that there's probably definitely going to be another round of consoles. Even if it's not a full console, you're still going to have something. If it's streamed, you're still going to have something that you play through. So I think consoles might turn into that eventually, kind of streaming boxes for your TV. But yeah, he just said that he feels like, you know, from his perspective in the market, that it's heading that way. And I'm sure Ubisoft wants to stay on top of everything. So I think they're trying to really realize what they need to do. You know, the statement seems to echo statements from EA chief competition officer Peter Moore, which we talked about a couple weeks back, maybe a month or so ago, that he also said the same thing. He felt like streaming was going to be the next medium for gaming in the future, along with we talked about NVIDIA way back when we first started this conversation. The NVIDIA CEO, he had also mentioned, because they were working on a streaming system for Steam, which is like PC based. So yeah, man, it's just like all the CEOs and now even like game developers and gaming companies are realizing that that's kind of just the direction things are heading. And so I only saw this because it was kind of a slow news week, but it is interesting to see, like, it does feel like every couple weeks we're hearing, you know, new CEOs and new people in the industry are really definitely taking notice that this is kind of the generational move that we're going in, as everything's easier and streamed. And
yeah, it's just so hard to predict this. If you're going to be streaming, what are you going to stream it on? That determines some sort of device that you would stream all this on. So what company is going to win that war out? Is it going to be Steam that has a streaming device, or will Xbox and, you know, come together to, you know, will they win the war and have a box where they just stream games? Which direction will it go? It's just too impossible to predict what will happen. But the discless future is imminent. But I will wait patiently because I don't want it to come, because I'm happy with my GameStop right now.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, interesting topic.
For sure, man. I think it's cool to see that. Xbox, I think, is embracing that. A lot of game content is getting pushed through their downloadable store. I mean, they try to give a lot of deals away. Like, every week or 2 weeks, you could download a game for really cheap, like older titles. They're really trying to push those, which is smart because it's opening up a whole new market that I would never in a million years go into a GameStop and buy an old game just because I just want it. It just would never happen because I know I couldn't sell it back for anything. And if I'm in there, I'm probably trading in to pick up something new. But there has been a lot of times, man, that like there's like either a free download or like something that'll pop up that's like $5, $10. It's like a game that I used to play that I really liked. Then I'm like, yeah, I'll download it. It's $10, you know, and it's right here. It's right now. I can download it and play it all I want. So I see the convenience side of it really well. And we talked about how GameStop's trying to get into the making games. arena, which is smart on their part. I think everybody's kind of trying to figure out how they fit into this new emerging market and how to kind of make a space in it. So good on them. So I hope GameStop, it works out that they're able to make games, and Xbox and PlayStation figure out how to stream them at an affordable rate that makes everybody happy. So
yeah, very interesting on where it's going to go. I know we all agree on, even CEOs, that there's going to be at least, yeah, another generation of consoles. So we're still a little ways out. But yeah, moving right along, there is a new Garfield CG animated movie in the works. We'll just kind of skim over this. not really crazy news that everyone's on the edge of their seat. When are they going to get to the Garfield content? That's why I'm listening. Garfield, Sean. But yeah, there's a new Garfield in the works.
I personally feel like we don't have...
Next on the docket.
I personally feel like we don't have enough Garfield content on the show.
Oh my god. We're talking about Garfield for no longer than a minute. Yeah. So, but the writer, creator, whatever his name is, Jim Davis, he's going to be an executive producer on the film. So
the same guy, the same company that's doing Blade Runner sequel, which is something I actually want to see,
is making Garfield.
But it's like a CG animated, so it's like real life with Garfield animated into CG.
Didn't
animated.
They do that the first time with Jim, or who's the, what's his name?
Alvin and the Chipmunks, right?
They did it. Yeah, they did that with Alvin and the Chipmunks, but I thought that they did that with the Garfield movie, too.
Did they really? I don't know.
The guy from Dumb and Dumber, what's his name? Not Jim Carrey.
Jeff. Jeff. What the fuck is his name? Jeff Goldblum? No?
No.
Jeff.
Daniels?
Jeff Daniels.
Wasn't he in it? Didn't he play...
I don't know.
The
dude.
Owner guy? Anyway.
Your Garfield knowledge.
I was just about to say, oh man, my Garfield's really slipping away from me. Anyway, I don't even... Why did you put that in? I didn't put that in.
I put it in.
I blame you.
I was just curious, man. I didn't know if you were a big Garfield fan or not.
Oh, I got one. Well, I do have a Garfield tattoo.
Do you think like Garfield will do well in the box office?
I don't have a Garfield tattoo.
He has an Odie.
I think he has an Odie tattoo. Let's talk Garfield box office numbers. You know, something
really riveting.
Think? Yeah. Oh my god, I can't believe we put that in.
There was a Garfield movie in 2004.
Rusty week back. Talking about Garfield. All right. The next thing that we're talking about is very interesting.
Bill Murray was in it, by the way. He was the voice of the 2004.
That's what it was. All right, Bill Murray. Man, he's got to regret the shit out of that. He must have been broke or something.
Maybe he just loves Garfield.
Disney is slamming the hammer down, man. They made a huge deal with Netflix, and Disney movies will be streaming exclusively on Netflix starting this September. That's a huge deal. That is a huge deal. HBO was in the bidding race for it. Obviously, Hulu was in the bidding race for it. Netflix just continues to further cement themselves as probably 20 years from now, Sean. Netflix won't only be around. It'll be the monopolized giant that controls streaming television. I really believe that. I think Netflix is controlling everything. Every penny that they paid for Disney for those rights are incredible, because Disney owns more properties now. So you got to think, not just classic Disney movies. You know, Disney just came out with a new live action, you know, The Jungle Book, and also the new Alice in Wonderland. Disney is kind of doing adaptations of classical movies with real actors, you know, not animated at all, which is fascinating and great. I didn't see the new Jungle Book, but I heard it got really good reviews. I really wanted to see it. And also they just released, Sean, today, Disney released the new Beauty and the Beast trailer with Emma Watson. So they're definitely going in that direction of like remaking these movies with that isn't animated. It's real live people.
Sure. Live action.
Live action movies. That's what I was trying to say.
But are they going to do the new Garfield movie? Or
I don't think that's a Disney property.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
No, that's right. They have the mouse, so they probably don't like cat movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's...
I'm a little upset you steamrolled my Garfield news.
You're so dumb.
You just rolled right over it.
Dude, I was trying to find numbers about how much they paid Disney, but I didn't find any. All I knew that HBO, it came down to Netflix.
Why do you keep trying to push me out of Garfield talk?
We're done with Garfield. Garfield's dead. You got it?
I'm sorry for all the listeners who like Garfield.
Ugh, I don't care if I offended you.
Oh, man.
We lost all of our listeners.
That was probably all three of them just left.
They're like, fuck you, I love Garfield.
Garfield.
But yeah, so it was between HBO and Netflix, and HBO's a giant, so I couldn't track down how much. We'll probably get the numbers eventually. Maybe they didn't release it, but it's hundreds of millions, if not a billion, for those rights. So yeah, starting in September, if you have Netflix, Netflix will be the only pay-for-TV service in the United States that will have access to Disney theatrical releases once they're out of cinemas. That's pretty crazy.
That is insane, especially considering we just bashed Captain America.
Well, that'll be on Netflix when it comes out.
The only place to watch it is on Netflix when it comes
out. Yeah, when it comes out, it'll be on Netflix.
That's huge, man. I wonder if they're going to raise their price, you think? Or do you think that's...
I mean, every big deal that they do, I mean...
Disney makes
sense
everything.
I know.
Star Wars, Marvel. Yeah,
that's what I mean. They're just a giant. It's really Disney, Blizzard, I think, are like the two biggest entertainment companies. Because Blizzard owns Activision. Activision owns freaking a lot of shit, too. Yeah, and I think Overwatch is going to be... We'll get into Overwatch talk at the end, but Overwatch is going to really have a presence in the console realm. A huge, huge presence. So they're trying to make a more dominated... presence there. Yeah, it's huge for Netflix. I think this is great. I love Netflix, and I'm kind of glad it... As long as Hulu and Netflix are just kind of the two giants, I'm okay with that. You don't want it to be split up between, oh, Stars and HBO and this, because, you know, Game of Thrones is only on HBO, so... You kind of want it all in one place instead of having to buy five subscription services. Do you know what I mean, Sean?
Yeah, we cut our cable cord when we moved to the new place. We had done it before, but we were continuing it. We have, you know, we have Netflix, Hulu, we have HBO also. And it pretty much covers all the bases, you know, minus like sports, but it's cool to see like Netflix is always expanding their library, always, you know, renovating it, getting rid of old stuff, putting new stuff on. So it's exciting to see like Disney's part of that now. And man, if sports could just catch up, I think we're there. We're like at that new era of television watching. So,
thank God.
No more cable.
Pretty
bills.
Cool. And think about this. The last thing I'll say about it. Think about this. When Rogue One comes out to DVD, that'll come straight to Netflix too.
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy.
That's a pretty big. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Straight to Netflix. Yeah, man, that's huge news for them, man. Think of a company that started off just, you know, snail mailing DVDs and Blu-rays through the mail.
And got turned down by Blockbuster.
Yeah.
They came to Blockbuster first, and look what happened to Blockbuster.
And now they're like a major, I mean, they produce movies, they produce some of the best television shows, you know, out right now. So yeah, man, and then signed up deals with like Disney and all these other huge companies. So they're definitely doing it right, man. It's cool to see that they're like pushing a lot of like indie stuff, and then they have like all this big stuff coming. And yeah, man, it's definitely probably the biggest, I would say one of the biggest, if not the biggest media outlet in the world.
Yeah,
man.
I agree. Definitely one of the biggest. So. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. We do have a little Q&A that we wanted to do that we do every week. This week, I definitely wanted to bring up Overwatch as it is launched now. Overwatch has launched. Do you think Battleborn will die because of Overwatch, Sean?
Similar graphically, I think pretty different in gameplay. I think... Micah just typed yes. So sorry, maybe laughed. I think it for sure will, just out of the sheer numbers of people and money they've put into marketing and everywhere I've looked the last like month has been Overwatch shit from like every restaurant, every billboard, every like it's fucking that girl spinning in her goggles is like the only thing I've seen.
Her name's Tracer, and you will refer to her as such.
I don't give a shit what her name is.
Yeah. You'll play Overwatch with me.
Jiggly Buns over here has been on everything. And no, I'm definitely going to play it. I played the beta. I thought it was fun. Totally different game. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be huge. Do you think it's going to kill Battleborn, or do you think...
Well, I think we should define what is killing Battleborn. I think...
Like, you go on and you can't get a server because no one's on it.
Yeah. That won't happen right away. What I mean is, will it kill Battleborn? Will Battleborn die? What I mean by that is, will it shorten the lifespan of Battleborn's life cycle as a game? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. There will be a fan base for Battleborn, and there will be... a good amount of people that will play Battleborn. It'll be around for a year or so. But I think that, yeah, numbers will obviously drop significantly. I still think Battleborn is a great game. I'm still going to keep it for a while, enjoy it. But it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad that anybody was doomed, whoever they launched with Overwatch. Do you know what I mean? Nobody wanted that slot because Overwatch was a guaranteed success. Blizzard's outstanding reputation for making games and making them games, not just well, but being the standard in the industry of video games is Blizzard without a doubt. That it's just something you don't want to go up against if you're a game developer. But I think if they would have nailed a lot more things, Battleborn would have been a lot more successful about the things that we talked about earlier in the show, about the review. It wouldn't have died. So the thing that's sad about this, Sean, is it didn't have to be this way. But it is. I mean, if you think that Battleborn won't die, you're living in a fantasy world, I promise you.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Blizzard, and the thing is, man, like, I've played Blizzard games probably my whole adolescence and adult life. Their fans are fanatical, man. I mean, like,
they are.
Diehard Blizzard fans are probably the biggest fans in the world. Like, if you know, I knew guys who played Warcraft, you know, back when we were in high school, junior high, and still play to this day and, like, are fanatical about it. Hearthstone is probably one of the biggest mobile games out right now. StarCraft, huge game. So I think them getting in, really, really diving more of their big titles into console gaming is just gonna be crazy.
Two of my friends that are dear friends of mine, Chloroform and Freddy and Advocate of God, I've played video games with them since the Xbox came out.
Yeah.
They were PC gamers before that with Warcraft, and they are the most diehard Blizzard fans I know, besides Rob. They were ecstatic about Overwatch, and they are Hearthstone junkies, and I know that they're really happy about it. But yeah, I have some very close friends of mine that are just... They don't get excited about anything, really. As far as they aren't really fanboys of anything other than Blizzard products or Blizzard games. So that speaks volumes to me. I mean, obviously that's not really a great example for people who don't know them, but in my personal life with gamers that I have met, it's a big deal. And that's why I think that the longevity of any game that they put out is
insane.
It's just insane.
Like, their Warcraft series has been going on forever. And it's not, like, drastically changed over the years. I mean, they've had, like, a slow, steady stream of updates have gone through it in progression. But it's, like, essentially the same game it's always been. And it's, like, people's lives get ruined over that shit. Like, people lose their jobs because they get so addicted to it. People, like, have to go to, like, AA meetings because they're addicted to Warcraft. And, Blizzard just figured out how to, like... I don't know. They just hit a spot in your brain and they make it, like, super addictive. and people will play that all day.
I agree. I think, well, I'll wrap it up with this. They really created the first genre of MMORPGs. I mean, and then when you think about where we're at today, how many games have mimicked or mocked their model of how to be a game developer is outstanding. It's staggering. Everybody is trying to be like Blizzard Entertainment. So yeah, again, that speaks to their, and I got nothing bad to say about them. I think they're a great company and they really care about, at least they perceive to care about their fans and their games that they make. And that's what gamers want to hear, and that's what how we want to feel. So I'm excited to play Overwatch. I can't wait to get it. We'll definitely have a review for you guys. We're back every week now. Life's settled down. We're going to be back every Monday again. We apologize again for kind of being MIA for a week or two. So back on schedule. Thank you so much for being dedicated, loyal listeners. We do this for you guys. So thank you.
Definitely, guys. Thank you guys so much. If you guys want to let us know your opinion, is Overwatch something you're super excited to see? Are you excited to see Disney on Netflix? Or maybe you're just excited to see Garfield in CG? We would love to hear from you guys. On Twitter, always, you can reach us at 5280Nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
Or at Garfield Loves Micah. All day.
Or at Garfield Meow.
Garfield Meow. Check us out on iTunes if you haven't already. Please subscribe on there. Give us a like. It helps the show grow. And check out our website, 5280Nerd.com. We love you guys. We're back. We're sorry. Let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. Later, guys.
See you guys.
Crazy news that everyone's on the edge of their seat. When are they going to get to the Garfield content? That's why I'm listening. Garfield, Sean. Yeah, there's a new Garfield in the works.
I personally feel like we don't have...
Next on the docket.
I personally feel like we don't have enough Garfield content on the show. Garfield.
Why
do you keep trying to push me out of Garfield talk?
We're done with Garfield. Garfield's dead. You got it?